Okay, how about that? Thank you, brother. And he was talking about how that so many times, and I've made mention of this, how so many times we feel like we know exactly how people are supposed to be as Christians. And we don't admit it, but we're using ourselves as a plumb line. And if they'll be like us, they'll be good Christians. Amen, Brother Darnell. Brother Darnell's a good for nothing. But here's what this preacher said. How would you like to have just spent the night, one night, in Peter's house? And let the Apostle Peter critique us. How would you like to have spent the night, just one night, in the Apostle Paul's house? And let Paul critique us. You know what that makes me want to do? It makes me not want to critique nobody. I believe if we'll really just stress the point that the Lord loves them, and let them become really good acquainted with Christ. Amen. Not me. Amen. But Christ. Yeah. Not me. But Christ. Amen. Hold on to your seatbelt just a minute. Not you. Amen. But Christ. Amen. Well, wouldn't they be better off?
Yes, sir.
Well, we have been looking in the book of 1 Thessalonians. You can turn with me there, chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses this morning. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we are have been given some insight, if you will, on a method of proclaiming God's Word. Everybody got a different idea about how the gospel should be spread abroad. And I believe if we'll stick with the Bible way, that'll work. That'll work. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, bless the Sunday school hour. Bless the good folks that's here. I pray, Lord, that if you would, that you'd stir our hearts. God, thank you for what you've done these past few days. God, how you've helped us and encouraged us and strengthened us. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to do so. Bless Brother Joseph. God, his home church already had services this morning. I know he's probably already checked in with them. And I pray they had a great day. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, if you would, please meet with us this morning. Do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. We're going to look at four ways this morning and hopefully some more items, but some four ways this morning of proclaiming the gospel. Of proclaiming the gospel. How many has ever met people that have had dreams? And they have trusted these dreams. Had a dream one time that I saw my grandma. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody, somewhere along the way, I had a dream one time I seen my dad. And this after he passed away. Okay, he didn't instruct me in biblical ways. He didn't try to tell me to how to redo the church or anything like that. I just had him on my mind a whole lot, and I had a dream about him. And that's the way it goes in life. A lot of people put a lot of faith in dreams when they should be putting faith in faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Was very happy last night to meet a young lady that received some evidence of someone not seen. And I'm praying. I'm not going to say much about that. I don't want to say much. I'm praying they'll come to church this morning. And but anyway, we're going to look at some methods. Verse number 2, let's look. The Bible says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, before we go any further, I want you to be honest with me. Do you think the Apostle Paul thought that every person in the church of Thessalonica was perfect. Brother Darnell said no. You agree with him, Brother Albert? He said no. I don't think that everybody in the church of Thessalonica was perfect. And I'm talking about, I'm not perfect in the eyes of God. I'm talking about the perfect Christian, the model Christian, if you would. This was the model church. But Camden Baptist is a church that you might not realize it, but this church has affected people all over the world. All over the world. I don't know. You could get with Brother Leo. He could get us a printout, I'm sure, of how many countries in this world that listens and watches our services. Countries. Okay? I don't know how many different people, how many downloads we have off sermon audio. And I did get that. Went ahead, Sister Mary, you'll see that I reinstated that. And so many people was listening. I hate for people to want to listen to preaching, even if it's me, and not get to. Amen. If they want to settle for the worst, God bless them. Amen. Maybe it'll help them somehow or another. But I know this. Paul is praying, and here's what he says. He said, we give thanks to God always for you all. Now, you ain't getting that. You might be here this morning, and you might could look around and say, you know what? I like Brother Edward. I like Brother Albert. I like Brother Mike. I like Brother Darnell. But I don't like Brother Bradley. Well, if you don't like Brother Bradley, you ain't going to thank God for Brother Bradley. You're not going to thank God for people that you don't like. If there was people, and I'm inclined to believe that there was people there that was not the perfect Christian, Paul's still thanking God for them. Huh? You know what to help you, me and you, to do? Find somebody that you probably dislike the most and just make it a point. Lord, if you would, today I'm going to start out and praying for this person that I'm not really crazy about. Don't tune me out. Please don't tune me out. I can see it on your face, okay? Don't tune me out right here. And say, Lord, let me pray for them at least 15 minutes. And I want to pray for them for 15 minutes every day. Just them. And Lord, if you would give me strength, next week I want to pray for them for 30 minutes. I don't think it'd be long for you. You just love them like you love everybody else. Don't you? Huh? Well, I mean, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he still died for them. I know this ain't deep stuff, but it's good practical stuff. I ain't looking for a college class, Brother Gary. I'm looking for stuff that'll help me as a Christian. Amen. He said in verse number 2, making mention of you in our prayers. Lord, help them. Lord, please strengthen them. Lord, please encourage them. Lord, they might be going through a storm. Anybody been through a storm this week? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wouldn't you appreciate if we spent some time in prayer for y'all? I'm not saying that we don't like you. I'm just saying, making mention of you always in our prayer. Wouldn't you appreciate them times of prayer? People ask me to pray. I pray. I pray. Now, sometimes I might pray for 5 minutes. Sometimes I might pray for 50 minutes for them. God gets on my heart. Boy, just breaks her heart. I think I might be wrong about this. I think sometimes we spend more time praying for us than we do others. Adrian Rogers said, we spend more time praying for the saints than we do the sinners. He said, we're doing more that we can to try to keep the saints out of heaven than keep saints sinners out of hell. I've got a prayer list. every Saturday night, we write down our prayer list. You know, Brother Mike, we spend more time praying for sick people because we don't want them to die and go to heaven. Y'all are here every Saturday night. Y'all know I'm telling it right. We spend more time praying for saints to get well so they don't go to heaven than we do for sinners that could die any moment and end up in hell.
Amen.
Whatever their spiritual state was in Thessalonica, Paul thought it very, very important that they pray for them. He said, me, Silvanus and Timotheus, give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So we see praying is very, very, very important, okay? Not only praying is important as a method of proclaiming God's word, but also preaching. Preaching. You show me a church that don't have preaching, and I'll show you a church that ain't got nothing. Ain't got nothing. I don't know what it meant for. Verse number 5, let's look at it. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know what we got to have? We got to have preaching. It came not just in a script. Somebody stood up and proclaimed the gospel. Now here's where we are in America. We got about three different types of preachers. We got one type of preacher that he'll stand up and he'll preach that, you know, cats are going to heaven and dogs are going to heaven and everything's wonderful and the cow jumped over the moon and there's never been nobody done anything wrong in life. Y'all seen them, you've heard them. I know where one is. He ain't worth me spending time on talking about his name because that ain't going to do nothing but just bore you. But he's got a big church out in Houston. Okay? So, well, who is it? Who is it? It don't make no difference. I'm not wasting God's time on stuff like that. All right? Now, then there's another type of preacher that he is going to stand up behind a pulpit. He's mad at the devil. You ever seen? I mean, mad. I get aggravated at the devil. You get aggravated at the devil. He is a hindrance to my Christian life. He throws stumbling blocks in front of me. He throws temptations in front of me. He does everything. I'm telling you, this group right here on the front row, this group right here, we need to pray for them, these young people, these young ladies. I'm telling you, young, wherever you a young person, this church should be praying fervently for our young people. Because I'm telling you, the devil don't want nothing more. He don't want nothing more to take somebody that's been faithful in the house of God. Are you listening? They've been faithful in the house of God. They have come up in a Christian home. They've been in church every Sunday the doors was open, every Wednesday when the doors was open. They have learned that tithing's right. They've learned that mission work is right. They have learned that prayer's right, that Bible reading's right. They've learned all these things. And the next thing, they're going to grow up. Thank God they grow up. I want them to grow up. And they grow up, Brother Larry, and they get them a job somewhere, and the devil's standing there where they work at on that new job saying, well, you're right where I need you at now.
Right.
Amen. And the next thing you know, there's going to be somebody on that job, that new job, that if you got a job, that's going to be impressive to them, and it's always things that are ungodly that impress. Isn't that right? And so if we got half a brain, you and I that's older, we need to spend time in prayer for these young people. Because, I mean, here this young man is right here. These young men right here, they've not been out there in that world and had a part or an association, if you will, with that. But I promise you this, the devil sees them as a drunkard. The devil sees them as a dope addict. You and I hate to say this. I'll say this as a poor testimony, Brother Gary, as a poor testimony. I went to a place one time where I picked up smoking. And I smoked. Brother Mike, I was very good at it. Didn't have no help. I knew how to do it. I could smoke 2 to 3 packs a day. I mean, I knew what to do with them. I mean, if I didn't even want one, I'd just light one up, stand on the end, sit there and watch it burn. That's pretty poor entertainment, I'll be honest with you. But I never thought as a young person I'd ever have a part in that. And it's been over 30 years, 35, 36, almost 37 years now since I've smoked. I'm thankful. I wish I had my money back. And all these folk that says I've smoked all my life and the doctor says I got lungs of a 17-year-old, don't you ever believe that. That's an oxymoron. That's impossible. But the devil can see every one of these kids with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth. And preaching is something that's necessary for us to instill into them. Beware of them things. Stay away from them things. Don't have a part of them things. Don't even hang around. I can't stand to be around people that smokes now. If they smoke, I ain't got to ask them. Oh, I can smell it. I can smell it. All they got to do is go, hi. I went, you say, Brother Edward, why you don't? I'm just trying to, I'm using that as an example, Sister Julie. You remember whenever you smoked? Thank God you quit. You still quit? Whew, thank you. Because for your health's sake, still, it's going to be to our grave. There's a scar. There's a scar. That's how powerful they are. And I'm just saying, the devil wants to put something on the inside of you. Right now, Brother Mark Patterson is over in, Brother Mark Patterson's father-in-law. What's his name, Ashley? You know? They just found out now he has lung cancer, I think is what they said. And what a horrible, horrible, horrible disease for a little bit of pleasure. And what do you think the devil thinks about that? I mean, he's the one that started it all. What do you think the devil's saying? I got all the ideas. He's probably just standing over somewhere going, I hope you die slow. I hope you suffer long. Huh? Preaching is things that gets the point across. That's why we say, don't go out in them clubs. Don't be running around like a harlot. Brother Joseph, can I tell this, Brother Joseph? He told me last night, he was watching the news in Nairobi. Now, over in Nairobi, in Eldoret, like a big, what we used to call farmer's markets. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We'd go and buy fresh vegetables. And he said this woman walks in, a young woman, you said 24 years old, walks in there in a miniskirt. You say, what's the deal about that? I mean, that'd be a common sight around here. I mean, if they wear a miniskirt anymore, you want to say, well, that's a long dress. Huh? Somebody say amen right there. This woman walks in there. Them older women got on her. They shamed her. They said, get out. Get away. We're not going to put up with that here. Well, she, about half American, says, I got my rights. When she said, I got my rights, them women got on her and beat her. They beat her, stripped her clothes off of her, called the police. They came and arrested her. And she went to jail. You said, how can they do somebody like that? There's still places where morals. You know what's happened in America? There ain't nobody standing behind that desk preaching. Here's what they're doing. They're spending time talking about Joel Osteen. They're spending time talking about Billy Graham. I can't do nothing about Billy Graham. Right. You can't do nothing about Joel Osteen, but I can give the gospel to somebody that's dying and going to hell, how that'll help him and turn their life around. I'm telling you, the devil's distracted us in our churches, and we think it's okay. We think it's okay so much that if I preach like this, it makes some of you mad. Because I ain't preaching on your hobby horse. If you're a preacher and that's all you got to preach on, or a teacher and that's all you got to teach on, sit down. I can take it from here. I can teach every class if I have to. I don't want to. But if I have to, David, I can. You say, what's the word? What do we need? We need preaching. Preaching. Gospel. Preaching. Death, burial, resurrection. Lord Jesus, help us. For our gospel came not unto you only, unto you in word only. It was delivered, Brother Darnell, the Bible says, with a boldness right there. A boldness, Brother Chris. I believe when Paul got up and preached, you didn't have to ask him, had he been praying? I believe when Peter got up and preached and 3,000 got saved, you didn't have to ask him, had he talked to God that morning? Amen. I just believe in all my heart. I believe there's people getting in the pulpit and they ain't praying. They might be doing a lot of things. They might be working on a car. They might be playing golf. They might be going on vacation. They might be doing a lot of things. They might be reading their Bible. They might be studying. But they ain't praying. And prayer makes a difference. That's why I got something going on in my life. I'm telling you, it's bigger than what I can handle. Man, I call on people. I say, please pray. Please pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. And for you that pray for me, I'm thankful. Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We see praying as a method. We see preaching as a method. But teaching is also a method. It's a way that you and I can grow. You can grow. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says this, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We need Bible. You know what those folk in Thessalonica were? They were good students. He couldn't have said this had they not been good students. They were good students. A model church teaches followers. I believe one of the reasons this church, one of the many reasons this church has been so productive in time is because we've had great teachers and have great teachers now. I think we have the best teachers that you could have. These young people come out of Brother Gary's class, he gets over and hollers and screams and jumps up and down for them and everything. You know what? They love him. They love him. And what we do in this life is if we're going to teach something, there's a guy I listened to once in a while on YouTube, and there's so many people against Dr. Ruckman. There's so many people against Dr. Ruckman. They just hate him. So there's even people says he's in hell now. And there's some people that even says they're glad that he's in hell now. As a moccasin. But I'm like this old boy. I listen to him every once in a while. And he says, you know what? He said, I liked him. Probably one of the greatest Bible teachers. I'm not saying it's perfect on everything. But you know what he done? He put forth an effort to teach. And when I was just a kid, he was teaching. And the only people that he ever spent time talking about was people that was trying to pervert the Bible. Am I telling it right, Brother Daniel? He didn't care what the guy did. I don't recollect him ever mentioning a church down the road. This church is full. This town is full of churches that don't believe like us. I don't care. I don't go there. I don't go there. What am I going to do? Run in there one service while they're having a service and say, hey, y'all ain't believing right. See you later. Huh? Somebody help me right here. Why waste God's people's time? Why waste God's time? on foolishness like that. We have to have teaching. There's things that you glean from and gain in Sunday school or even in church sometime because of good teaching. Aren't you glad of that? You know what I found out? The more you learn about God and His Word, the more you want to learn. Isn't that a good thing? I'm glad that we can. Amen. Amen. We see that prayer, we see that preaching, we see that teaching is beneficial in proclaiming God's Word. We also see evangelizing is beneficial. Verse 8, he said this, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." There's places that these people that got saved in Thessalonica was at, they took the gospel to other places where Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus didn't go. There's places that you'll be a witness that I can't go to. As of right now, the only people, me, Brother James, Brother Gary, in this church that you may have, but not that I know of, that's been to Africa, we're the only ones that's been. Compared to what we did there was minimal, minute, compared to what he's done there. I mean, all we've done was just what did we do? Stood there looking white. That'll draw attention anywhere in the continent of Africa, I promise you. Am I right? Well, James didn't. And I run across people all the time, talking about their African heritage. How many of you have ever heard that? Yeah. African heritage. Yeah. They asked James. They said, "Are you a Kenyan?" He said, "No, I'm from America." They said, "Oh, you're a black American." Evangelizing. That's what comes out of a church. You go where I can't. You got family that I won't never get talked to. You can evangelize to them. God puts callings on different people. Sister Barbara has a real burden for the nursing home. That's a good thing. That's her burden, not mine. My burden is the church. Do you see what I'm saying? Different callings, different places. Brother Joseph is a pastor and a church planter. Every one of us, God's give us something to do. So don't be mad at me if I'm not burdened for what God's called you to do. I'm not going to be mad at you because you don't want to be a pastor. I might even be glad. Amen. I appreciate folk when they come and say, now you're the pastor and you know what to do. I'm going to stop right and say, thank you. See you later. But there's always this little three-letter word that comes along with that. But, you know, y'all, I'm thankful that God gives each one of us something to do. It might your calling might best be to make sure Camden Baptist Church has ink pens. Your calling might be that Camden Baptist Church has gospel tracts to pass out. It don't have to be your name on the sign. Brother Joey said, "You want me to put your name on the new sign?" I said, "Don't do it. Please don't do it. I don't even want my name out there." I said, "Why?" "Because it ain't about me. It's not about us. It's about Christ. If I'm evangelizing and the topic of my conversation is me, I have jumped track. If I get mad because they've rejected me, I've jumped track. This is how the gospel gets out. Prayer. Through prayer. Praying. Preaching. Teaching. Evangelizing. He said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I dare say, I believe I'm right in what I'm fixing to say. Every one of you at one time has witnessed to somebody that nobody in this church knew. And if you haven't yet, you probably will. And when you get that great opportunity, just do it. Just do it. Brother Darnell has requested prayer for a lot of his family that I've never met. And I pray for him so that whenever he gets to see them and witness to them, that he's full of God and the witness goes well. So, an evangelistic church is usually an expanding church. I want you to look at two verses. I want to read them. There's some real spiritual grace, special grace that God gives that accompanies salvation. Chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So you believe in election? I believe God sent a special word right here for Thessalonica. There's things talked about in the church of Thessalonica that's not talked in any other book in the Bible. What do you say about that? I mean, Paul went there and preached and told them about the rapture of the church and everything. Somebody else come along and said, no, it ain't going to happen like that. And Paul went back to reassure them, it is going to happen like that. He didn't tell the church of Galatia that, Brother Mike. He didn't tell the church of Ephesus that. You see this? God is got a special work. We see this. Our past is a work of faith. Faith is evidence of your salvation, evidence of your redemption. When people tell me that they're Christians, but they live in like the world, and listen, you know when people says that, well, I mean, I know you didn't know this, but I've been doing this and that. Oh, yeah, you know, it shows. It's on your face. It's on your face. You can't live wrong and hide it off your face. Sin scars our face. I've met people that I'm telling you their face looked like. I'm not saying there was nothing wrong with them. I'm just saying that just had such a worn look. Tattered look. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you talk to them long enough and find out they're 40 years old. Say, whoa. What happened? Tell you what happened. Sin. That's it. Sin. It's evidence, ain't it? Yeah. It's evidence. And our past, our faith is evidence of our redemption. Our present is a labor of love. I preached on this not terribly long ago. Our present is a labor of love. Love is evidence of your sanctification. You know why that there's people that are saved that you don't like and can't stand to be around? If that's the case. I would hope it wouldn't be. But do you know why there's people that you don't want to be around as a Christian? Because there's not been a work of sanctification in your life. God hadn't ever set you apart and just showed you what you were. Say, why? Because pride has built up and you will not let that wall of pride down. Brother Gary, we've got to get rid of that pride. That pride destroys me and you as a Christian. What do you think? Here's an open floor. I'm going to open the floor for this question. If a sinner walks in here this morning, and I pray they do, but if a sinner walks in here this morning, how would you want them to look? Because if they look too bad, you're going to go, Come on now. I'm reminded so many times, Brother Donnie, of the sinner couple, I'll call them that, that came in that night. Do y'all remember that? A young lady, a young man, walked in here. Man, I've just been praying, God, send sinners in. I don't care what it looked like. Send sinners. Lord, we're in a good location for sinners. Send some sinners in. One walked in that side door right there, had a nice white wrinkled shirt on. So thin you could see through it. She's a sinner. Now you wouldn't wear nothing like that. Because the Lord's changed your heart about that. There's probably a day you would have. Well, you're old school. We don't. This younger generation, they don't mind. They don't mind. I remember when I was in school one time, they sent a girl home. I don't know if you remember this or not, because she come dressed to school inappropriately. They sent her home. Called her parents. They come get her. This girl come in, she's dressed inappropriately according to the average Christian's standard. And instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for a sinner that you've sent our way, most people went, oh, I can't believe she come to church dressed like that. Oh, yeah. You whipped out your little plumb line and held it up, said, no dressing like that. How are they supposed to dress? How sinners supposed to be? Sinners are sinners. What would be the worst? What would be the worst? Help me right here now. What would be the worst? A lady walk in like this or a man like that. He had some kind of a seizure. Y'all remember that? Had called 911. A lady walk in like that and you're looking on the outside appearance. Or maybe somebody walking in here with hidden sin from this past week. Some gossiping, some disgruntledness. I wouldn't see no difference. Maybe even sitting here in Sunday school this morning saying, man, that's just him. He's just preaching like he's just a preacher. He can talk like that if he wants to. Grumbling. I'm telling you, don't you ever underestimate the devil. You think he can't get you? He's done got you. And all he's doing, nobody might not know it yet, because all he's doing is working on your heart. Don't ever underestimate him. You stay with God. Father, I pray that you take this time, what we heard, Lord, and help us. Use us for your glory. Meet with us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Take your break. Try not to clog the doors up because I'm expecting a bunch of visitors. In other words, stay out of the way because I got visitors coming in. They're coming some right there. I see them. All right. Thank